This weekend, after a nearly 13-year run, the radio show A Prairie Home Companion will broadcast its final new program. Many fans will be able to see the last show without having to be in the World Theater in St. Paul. Our television critic David Bianculli has the thoughts on the sights and sounds of A Prairie Home Companion.
If you've never seen Prairie Home Companion, this is your last chance before it goes into reruns. For the last 16 weeks, Garrison Keillor's show has been available on a 3-hour delayed basis to viewers of cable TV's The Disney Channel. This Saturday's finale will be shown too, and even if you don't get the Disney Channel, a TV version will soon be within reach. Advance orders are already being taken for video cassettes of the farewell show. Many people think that radio is a special kind of child, one that should be heard but not seen. Parts of the televised show, though, are well worth watching. It's a sad jolt at first to see the messy stage at St. Paul's World Theater, with all its wires, empty chairs, and constant aimless movement. It looks more like they're conducting a sound check rather than broadcasting a live, nationwide radio show. But the looseness, above all, is what makes the program so charming. On the plus side, it's fun to see the soap opera skits acted out with their attendant sound effects, especially on Buster the Show Dog. And certain guests are as enjoyable to see as to hear. Bobby McFerrin showed up recently to sing all by himself most of the music from The Wizard of Oz. He used his body as well as his voice. One minute he was flapping his wings as the Good Witch. The next he was on his knees as a munchkin. Score one for television. Then again, there's something less than comfortable about watching Keillor when he sings with some of his guests. Recently he was harmonizing with the Everly Brothers, and his expression made it look like this was something forced on him, like an after-school punishment. Now you know that the Everly Brothers wouldn't be there if Keillor didn't like them, so what his face was showing was probably shyness more than anything else. Once I noticed that, I began closing my eyes whenever Keillor was singing with a special guest. What I heard with my eyes shut wasn't the best singing voice in the world, but there were no traces of nervousness. Score one for radio. But the Lake Wobegon segments are impervious to television. TV cameras can't diminish Keillor's strength as a talker, and that's what counts. In hardback and paperback, Keillor's stories have sold millions of copies because reading them, you can mentally supply Keillor's voice, complete with those delicious, deliberate pauses and deep breaths. Keillor is good in print and better on television, but I think radio is the perfect medium for his particular talent. He works from the barest of notes for his monologues and just sort of talks. His voice is wonderful, soothing. You can tell by listening to him that he's a radio guy, just as you can tell by listening to me that I'm a newspaper guy. Normally, this is the point where I'd insert a sound clip from the TV show to let you hear for yourself what Keillor sounds like. But robbed of the picture, that would be like listening to Keillor on the radio. And I don't think there's a public radio listener in the country who couldn't pick Keillor's voice out of a lineup. So what I'll do instead is just repeat what Keillor said a few weeks ago during his Lake Wobegon news segment. He told his audience, those in the St. Paul Theater, those listening to radio, and those watching on the Disney Channel, that he wasn't leaving us. He was rejoining us. It was a beautiful thing to say, even if I don't buy it for a second. I'll miss him, on TV and on my radio. And almost everyone I know will too. He proved at the end that TV could do justice to radio. And that's the news about Lake Wobegon, where all the women are, well, you know the rest.
David Bianculli is television critic for the New York Post.